Blog Talk Radio.
Former Blackhawk, local guy, and the current color analyst for the Blackhawks on television, it is Eddie Olczyk.
The guy's an asshole.
Dead air moments. I feel
paid out the rectum.
Well, first of all, we're very, very happy with Dennis Savard as our head coach. He's growing.
What the fuck does that mean? I don't know how long you guys got, but I can sit. I'll sit here till 4 in the morning and explain to you why James Wisniewski sucks.
You're never surprised by anything.
Good news on the front page of the Sun-Times today, Superstar.
Yeah, what was that?
Cook County is going to lax their penalties on pot smokers.
Well, that's good for those said individuals.
Yes, very much good for them. Hello there again, everybody. One day removed from the disaster that was yesterday. It is Third Man in Radio, episode 2, take 2. And I'm Chris Block, and alongside Superstar, we're going to try this thing again. And how you doing tonight, Superstar?
Good. Just getting ready to head up to Cabbage and relax for a weekend.
You're going where, to Cabbage?
Cottage.
Oh, Cottage. Oh, I thought you were going to see Cabbage. And what's going to go on up there? This is the trip that I was supposed to go on, right?
Yes, it is. A lot of debauchery and drinking. That's pretty much the trip in general.
Sorry, I'm going to miss it. Yes, I have... I have some things that have come up recently, and no, I cannot go. But you can tell me all about it next week on next week's show. Not a lot has happened, but something, a major news story broke last night after I got done erasing yesterday's file. Marian Hossa... Tim Sassone broke the story last night on his blog. Shortly thereafter, his story that ran in today's paper went up on the Daily Herald website. Marian Hossa signed his 12-year contract with an existing shoulder injury that the Blackhawks claimed that they knew about. Of course, Marian Hossa wasn't in the country at the time of his signing, and the Blackhawks, it would have been tampering had they have given him a physical beforehand. So the Blackhawks gave him... over $60 million, or guaranteed $62 million to him, not knowing the severity of the injury and not giving him a physical. And go ahead.
You would know more than I would on this. Is there anything in the collective bargaining agreement about full disclosure of injuries?
Well, I mean, he would have to come in and pass a physical. Obviously, and he's got there's a certain amount of time where he's going to sign his contract and then he would go, and if he didn't pass the physical, the Blackhawks could by terms of the collective bargaining agreement just say no, this contract null and void. I don't watch the NBA. I don't know anything about the NBA, but I hear about this occasionally. Is that does happen in the NBA where a guy signs his contract, he flies in, he does the physical, and they find something wrong with him, and they void his contract. I don't think that was ever an issue, because, again, the Blackhawks claim that they knew about it. It was probably a case of Rich Winter, Marian Hossa's agent, probably just pulled those guys, told those guys at the time. He's like, listen, Marian had a minor shoulder injury that he's rehabbing. It's not serious at all. just so you know that when we fly in, if we sign this contract and we fly in and we have this physical, that, you know, this doesn't come up and you guys are like, you know, what the hell? So I totally believe that the Blackhawks knew about it. It's still quite a gamble, and a lot for the people out there right now that are downplaying this. I think that you should go back and brush up on your history, because 3 years ago, when Marty Havlat came to town, he came to the Blackhawks with a history of having a bad shoulder, and Dale Talon at the time, who traded for him in one of the greatest trades the Blackhawks have ever made, basically sending Mark Bell away and getting Martin Havlat in return. It would have worked out a lot better if Havlat would have, you know, been able to stay healthy. But still, Havlat came to town. He had a history of injuries, and we were told, Blackhawks fans were told at the time, that everything was going to be fine, that he was rehabbing his shoulder, and he was on course, and everything was going to be great. No issues. Martin Havlat was going to have a long and successful Blackhawks career. Well, look where we are today. Marian Hossa doesn't have a tremendous history of injuries. He's had nagging injuries here and there, but I mean there's two ways to look at that. Either he's a bigger athlete, bigger boned, stronger, more durable, or he's had his run and now his time has come. So you can look at it both ways. I'm not gonna sit here today and say, oh well, Marian Hossa, he'll have whatever procedure he needs to have done, he'll rehab it, and then he'll go back to being the Marian Hossa that he was, for the last 7 or 8 years. I don't know that. Nobody can guarantee that. And to just sort of brush this aside is just a nagging injury. I mean, this is a shoulder issue, issues just like back, for those people that remember Eric Daze. Shoulder issues are chronic. So if I'm the Blackhawks and I'm Marian Hossa, unless this is something that leaked out and is being totally blown out of proportion, which I think the Blackhawks would have been a little bit more defensive today had Tim Sassone blown this out of proportion. That's why I believe that this is a real injury that they're concerned about, because they weren't as defensive today as I expected them to be. So I would say that Marian Hossa needs to go in and have an operation done on that shoulder tomorrow. So however long he's going to be out, if it's a minor shoulder surgery, he's going to be out 2-3 months tops. If it's a serious one, it's up to 6 months. But whatever it is, he's got to go in and have it now, because the Blackhawks have what they have going on their side this season is they've got a lot of home cooking early. So they can get through the early schedule without Hossa as long as the rest of their guys are healthy and they don't do something stupid like trade Patrick Sharp. So it's imperative that he, whatever's wrong, to whatever extent, he goes and he takes care of that now so we can just move on. The Blackhawks can move on, and he can be healthy. Don't mess around with this like they messed around with Marty Havlat. Just because, Hossa thinks he's going to be healthy. Like, if that's what's going on right now, and Marian Hossa's saying, no, I think I can get through this one, boss, I'll be fine, and I want to be there on opening night, I want to play in Helsinki, I want to do all this stuff, that's wrong. I mean, the Blackhawks should learn from their mistakes. And they made a mistake with Havlat. Each time he didn't want to opt for the surgery. He wanted to have, minimal procedures. He wanted to rehab it and come back. And then finally, when he went in and he had the actual surgery that he should have had to begin with, he was able to stay healthy all year. Go in, take care of it, and hopefully Hossa is able to move on. But we got a caller on the line, so I don't want to leave him there too long. Let's see who this is. And they just dropped off. Well, that's too bad for you.
And you're talking about the durability of Havlat and Hossa. I mean, that comes up with this debate, which player best fits for the Hawks. Hossa has never played under 60 games, and that was in his second year. He played 60 games with Ottawa. And last year, he was the second lowest total with 74 with Detroit. but he scored 40 goals in those 74 games.
No, I, you know, definitely. He's got it, you know. I mean, that's what Dale Talon, when he went up on the podium, and whether it was his decision to sign Hossa or not, he stood up on the podium and they asked him what was the difference, what was the factor in choosing, essentially giving Hossa the contract that Havlat was pursuing. They said, well, he's played more games. True, but, you know, like I said, is his run up now? Is this going to be the string where he runs through all these injuries? And then, again, he just signed a contract that he's set for the rest of his life. He has, other than trying to win a cup, Marian Hossa has nothing left to play for. So how aggressive is he going to be in rehab? How intent is he going to be at getting back as soon as he can, and staying healthy and doing all the things in the off season that he's going to need to do? These are issues that need to be addressed. These are things that should be talked about. No one should be saying, well, we could trust Marian Hossa because he's been healthy his whole career. You could go down the list of guys that had, you know, tremendous and you know, runs of health for their first half of their career and then couldn't stay healthy the second half. So, like I said, this is just something where he needs to go in, take care of it right now, and be done with it. Let's try this caller again, if I can do it correctly. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello. Okay. That was an epic fail. Maybe we should talk, while we're talking about that, maybe we should talk a little bit about what happened last night, Superstar.
I think once we got the technical difficulties sorted out, it kind of, we pointed in the right direction.
I should explain, because I have high expectations for pretty much everything that I do. And I usually go in with, I jump in with both legs and all 3 feet. So to have something, you know, have a show like that go just terribly wrong was, you know, extremely frustrating for me. But I woke up this morning, you know, besides being very frustrated last night, I woke up this morning, I'm actually glad that it happened. And then the 30 or so people that were streaming with us live got to hear me. For those that weren't with us or going to listen to this on archive later on, basically what happened is Superstars, you know, was on Skype, because we're not actually sitting next to each other with microphones, believe it or not. And I'm actually recording this from a different location tonight, too, so hopefully that'll work out for us. But your Skype kept going down or crashing your computer. Is that correct?
That is.
Okay. And then each time that he went into the abyss, my switchboard went down. So I was talking, and I don't always have the switchboard up because I'm going from different screen to screen, reading emails, looking at different things, and I didn't know whether I was on the air or not. And then I couldn't find the switchboard. The switchboard was down, and it was quite an event. But, yeah, the second half of the show was good, but there was nobody that was going to listen to that thing on archive. Some people emailed me today wanting to know why I deleted it. There was nobody that was going to listen to that thing on archives and make it through the second half. And,
no, they weren't.
No, they were not.
I wouldn't have even.
No. I almost hung up before we got to the second half, and I'm the host. So, but, yeah, that's basically what happened there last night and why we had to re-record. And there was also, I guess me with a live mic isn't a good idea either. Unfiltered and live is probably a bad way for me to go through life. But that is, it was, like I said, it was my decision to do live radio and not record this thing and be able to edit and put it up later. But, all right, we're going to try another caller here. And you're on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Mike, and I'm calling from Montgomery. I also called in yesterday, and, you know, sadly, you deleted the debut of the real show.
All right. Okay. Well, what's going on tonight then?
My question for you is, it's not about the Hossa deal. Yesterday you were talking about who was tradable and who they might trade sometime during the season or before the season starts. And you talked about Chris Versteeg possibly trading him before the season starts, before he even steps out on the ice this year, because his value is probably never going to get as high or higher as it is right now. And I was wondering if you thought that his trade value was high enough to possibly make the other team take Sobel's contract with him when they take Versteeg.
Depends on who he's going to. It depends on who your dealing partner is. I would assume that, if you're trading Chris Versteeg, what you're looking for in return for the Blackhawks, you're looking for either your 1A goaltender, or a really, really good backup. And, in that event, if you're going the goalie route, then it's going to be a big deal. It's going to be a lot of different guys. And, yeah, that could very well be. I think Sopel's more of a candidate to be a guy. For as much crap as people gave Sopel for underperforming last year, and then, of course, he got hurt. He was healthy enough to play at the end of the year. The Hawks just told him to, just step aside. We don't want to ruin anything. But, he was a great teammate. And he was good in the room. He didn't cause any problems. So he's a good veteran. He's not old. He's 31, 32 years old. So I think that he's a guy that if worse comes to worse, obviously the Blackhawks they said all they needed to say in the playoffs last year. They would rather find somewhere else for Brent Sobel to play. And if they could do that, then they could probably keep everybody that they have, including Chris Versteeg. But at some point during the year, even though the Hawks are technically under the cap with the cushion for the entry level guys and all their bonuses, that doesn't go away. So just so everybody understands, the Blackhawks, their 23-man roster, the way that we have it right now up on the website, that is if all those players, all those entry level players make their bonuses, and not all of them will. But if worse comes to worse, and they all do, that is where the Blackhawks will stand. And that money doesn't get wiped out. The Blackhawks will be charged that money next year. So for everybody that thinks that, the Blackhawks are under the cap, well, yeah, technically they are. But whatever they go over at the end of the year, it's going to be tacked on to next year. And the Blackhawks can afford that. So if they can somehow move Sopel, that probably puts them right where they need to be to avoid that kind of a disaster. Go ahead.
I think, I saw the Tampa Bay Lightning traded Verbata, so anything is possible, I guess.
Yeah, well, as I said, last night, for those that weren't listening live, I think that, worst case scenario, the Blackhawks will be regretting that contract. Radim Verbata and Chris Versteeg aren't—they're not similar players.
I'm talking about the Sopel. Like, if someone's going to take Verbata from Tampa Bay in that terrible contract, there's got to be somebody that could take the Sopel contract.
It could be Tampa. They signed Matt Walker. They've done a lot of dumb things. This off season, they're still looking to trade Vince LeCavalier. So,
he would be a great fit in Chicago.
Yeah, but for what the Blackhawks are trying to do, I think that they would prefer to keep all their forwards, but they also need to address goaltending. In my opinion, I don't trust Niemi or Crawford. Neither of them jumped ahead of the other last year. They didn't. Neither of them, just took the ball and ran with it. Neither one outperformed the other and took the spot. And that's what one of them needed to do. They needed to step up and take the spot, and neither one did. So if you're looking at one of those two guys and saying, like, well, if all hell breaks loose and Cristobal Huey, sucks a big one this year, then who are you going to? And if the answer is Antti Niemi or Corey Crawford, I think you've got a big problem on your hands.
I would agree with you. Then they might have to look at trading Sharp away to try and get a number one.
Right.
So
but
I have a question.
what I was going to bring up to you right there is a guy, because of his salary in contract is so bad, is Giguere an option?
No.
Since it's only
Giguere
2 years
makes
left?
Too much money. Giguere makes more money than he weigh.
Yeah, he's highly paid.
Yeah. No,
so
Giguere's not an option.
I have a question for you. I don't know how this works, but since Hossa will not probably start the season with the team, does his salary still count against the cap at the beginning of the season?
No.
Or,
if he's on long-term injury, then no. The Blackhawks will be able to use if he's on long-term injury, that cap number comes off, and the Blackhawks will temporarily be able to use that little over $5 million to, patchwork. But,
okay, so who do you think is going to make the club then if he's not able to start the season?
Well, if Hossa's not going to be there in the start of the season, Kyle Beach, like I was saying last night, he's got a 9-game trial to win. And I doubt he's going to stick around the whole season. He'd have to have an amazing camp, and then he'd have to look really, really good in those first 9 games because the Blackhawks just have way too many forwards on one-way deals. You know, they're going to have to make a few trades coming up here, and they will because they didn't. I don't think that they wanted to sign all those RFAs. They were put in a position where they had to, and that's another thing we're going to talk about later. Stan Bowman made some comments the other day that I wanted to address, but the Blackhawks just have way too many guys up front, so they're going to have to make some moves. But if Hossa's not ready and he's going to miss a month or two, then that's a spot where Kyle Beach can come in and take his spot for a month or so. And or at least 9 games, and get some seasoning. And I think the Blackhawks would like to see that. But I mean, just from judging on seeing him at prospect camp, I don't think he's ready. But
what about Alou?
Alou's got to have it. I mean, he's got to continue. I mean, Alou. The problem with prospect camp is there were so many guys out there that just weren't, comparatively speaking. I mean, they're much better players than you or I. But I mean,
I don't know about superstar.
Well, superstars have been showing up at hockey lately. You missed superstar and I played together on Saturdays, and he hasn't been showing up lately. But
I heard from superstar's agent that he's trying to take the team to arbitration. So not really sure what's going to happen there.
Is that
I
got to
hold off for everything I can get.
A couple of pizzas. But I don't know. I just think that Alou was playing against players that were just not good players in that camp. And of the 54 guys that were out there skating around 2 weeks ago, there's 4 or 5 that are ever going to play in the NHL. And I'm not even talking about having careers in the NHL. I'm talking about playing in a game in the NHL. He had a good camp, but he's got to come and he's got to do it in the real camp in September, and then we'll see. But Troy Brouwers is pointed for that spot on the fourth line. Ben Eager's on the other side. You've got Burrish in the middle. The Blackhawks have a numbers issue if everybody's healthy, because Kopechki is going to play on that third line with John Madden and then whoever ends up on the other side, whether it be Bufflin or Versteeg. That's the third line. So I just don't see where these guys are going to have any room to play if the Hawks are healthy.
All right, guys. Well, I appreciate you taking my call, and I'll listen to the rest of the show.
All right, thanks a lot. We've got another caller on the line. Let's see if this is going to work out from the 760 area code. Where is that? When we ask the caller.
I have no idea where that is.
Maybe if it's...
Gene from Southern California.
Oh, how you doing, Gene?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing, Chris?
Pretty good. I'm getting ready to make all my plans to go out to Southern California here in over the Thanksgiving holiday.
Well, absolutely. Now that the schedule's out, I figured you'd probably show up around that time.
Yes.
Wanted to get back to the Hossa issue a little bit, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember some circumstance in the past where there was a trade made, and of course this was not a trade, this was a unrestricted free agent, where there was a trade made and there was an issue in terms of health and questions of due diligence and et cetera, and the trade actually got reversed. Now, as I said before, this is not a trade. It's a free agency. We're dealing strictly with the player and his agent and not with any other team. But is there some responsibility here? Is there some precedent for the responsibility that should have been either, you know, executed on Bosa's or his agent's part, or, of course, on the Blackhawks' part in terms of due diligence to see if we were getting damaged goods?
Yeah, well, for on Hossa's side, and like I was saying before, I think that all he had to do or his agent had to do was just say, listen, you know, I mean, this is a physical sport. Injuries happen. The guy was signing a contract, you know, to move on and play with the Blackhawks. What was it, 3.5 weeks? Not even. It was just about 3 weeks after he had finished playing, 100-game season, 100-plus game season.
July 1st.
Yeah, so I think that all they had to do is disclose that, hey, there's an issue, so when we come in and we do our physical, there's no surprises. And as long as Hossa didn't come, you know, didn't show up in Chicago with, you know, a dislocated shoulder or, or something else coming up that the Blackhawks weren't, you know, notified about, this would be a case where the Blackhawks would say, and what happens if, you know, in these cases? And I don't know about other sports, but in the NHL, if the Blackhawks now were to say, like, oh, you didn't tell us about this, if they weren't, or this is more severe than you had let on, we want to void this contract. Well, the NHLPA immediately grieves, and then the thing goes to arbitration. So, and the Blackhawks knew. They said they knew, and I believe that they knew, because if they didn't, they're fools. And I don't think that they're fools. I think that they're, you know, they stub their toe a lot along the way, and they make themselves look foolish at times, but I don't think that they're fools. And you just don't sign a guy to a 12-year contract without saying, hey, listen, I know you just got done playing hockey 3 weeks ago, but, I mean, what's your health like? That, I just can't imagine that never came up. And, you know, like I was saying before, though, the only thing that surprised me that the Blackhawks haven't been more defensive about this. You know, usually they're very quick to, you know.
Proactive.
Yeah, I mean, they're very quick to attack and downplay, you know, rumors or things that leak out like this, and they haven't really done it yet. So I think that would say to me that this really is serious, and he is probably right now determining whether or not he's going to have surgery.
Yeah, well. It sounds like it, but I understand what you're saying, and just want to say a really good show today. I only listened to the first half of yesterday's show. But no.
You picked the wrong half.
Was, huh?
Then you picked the wrong half to listen to yesterday.
I must have, because I shut it off halfway through. For no other reason, but I was obligated to take my wife out to dinner. So that's the only reason I listened to the first half only. So anyhow, but great show today, and best of luck, and love the new website as well.
All right, thanks a lot, Gene.
Take care.
All right,
bye. Well, something I want to bring up with the Marian Hossa, do you think the Hawks would urge him to have the surgery if it's kind of a question of if he needs it or not? Only because there's a 2-week Olympic break coming in half of the year that could give him a little more time to come back?
Well, no. No matter what the injury is, he'd be back by the Olympic break. Like, you know, like we were saying before, if he has to have surgery, then you're talking about a maximum of 6 months. I mean, we're just about, you know, to August now. So, you know, he'd be back before the Olympics. And he's going to play in the Olympics. He's going to play for his country. So, I think that, you know, like I was saying before, learn from your mistakes. And the Blackhawks made this mistake with Marty Hablett. He didn't get, you know, his problems corrected. They let him linger. They played around with it, and it ended up biting him in the ass. And then, you know, and Hablett, too. I mean, Hablett, you know, he's to blame. He was the one that was going around seeing specialist after specialist, not wanting to have surgery, wanting to do it the – you know, I don't know if it's necessarily the easy way. I've never had shoulder surgery or a torn, you know, anything. So I don't know, but he was the one avoiding surgery. So, you know, he's partly to blame too. And I don't think anybody should feel another reason why I don't think anybody should feel sorry for Marty Havlett. If Havlett would have just taken care of the surgery when it first came up, he might still be a Blackhawk today. So, you know, but I don't know. I guess Superstar, I'll pose this question to you then: is this a case of the Hawks unknowingly running into some dumb luck, or is it the Blackhawks taking what could be construed as a huge risk, flipping one fine game-changing winger with a history of shoulder issues for another who just signed a 12-year contract with one? Or is karma and irony working together to bite Mr. John McDonough in his proverbial arse?
I think it's actually a combination of all of it. Obviously, it's just some dumb luck of you get rid of a guy who's bad shoulder, you get a guy who's stayed fairly healthy his entire career. Like I said earlier, lowest amount of games played in his entire career was 60. Now you're going to get him, and he could be up to 6 months. But I also believe John McDonough once again said, just go out and get that top name free agent regardless of who it is. We need to make another splash and continue to get better. So I think it's kind of a combination of all three of them.
Yeah, I remember talking to people at the United Center that would come up to me early in the season. And some of these people, emailed me or on July 1st, I was always in the, we're talking about the beginning of the 08-09 season. I was always of the belief that the Hawks were going to target Hossa in the offseason, that they were going to flip what they ended up doing. They were going to flip Havlett for Hossa, and they were going to move on. But as the season went along and we realized what the cap issues were, uncertainty in the future, whether the cap is going to stay the same, is it going to go down, when will it start, rising again? All those things came into play, and I I don't know that they're going to be able to do that one. And then, of course, they orchestrate a 12-year deal, and they get him at a low number when, he's really only going to play eight years of that. So good for them. But, I always believed that this was what they were going to do. And I was still shocked that they were going to do it. But now that he's here and he has this problem, I still think that you can't overstate that the guy just set himself for life, and he's got, he's set. He doesn't have anything left to play for but that cup. And, the guy just played back-to-back years in the Stanley Cup Finals. There's a burnout factor as well. And maybe this is a blessing in disguise. If he goes and he has it, he has a surgery done and it fixes it for good, or at least for a few years, maybe this is the best thing for the Hawks. I was mentioning to someone the other day when looking at the schedule, this is a brutal year. The Olympics are this year. The NHL is basically starting the season and ending the season at the regular season at the exact same points as they did this past season. But yet they have a 2-week break in the middle of February, from the middle of February to the beginning of March to accommodate the Olympics. So they're jamming 2 weeks of games into last year's schedule in other places. The Blackhawks are playing every other night, it seems like. They play they're tied for the most back-to-back games in the league this coming season with 19 times they're going to play back-to-back nights. They get a bit of a break early on in the season. They get a lot of home cooking, but from that point on, it catches up with them. And there's that break in February for the guys that aren't going to be going to the Olympics. And for the Blackhawks, as good as the Blackhawks were last year, they're not going to have a lot of Olympians. They'll have Hossa, Kopechki, Kane, and then maybe Taves, and then Bufflin if there's injuries. But other than that, they don't have – Huey, did France qualify for the Olympics this year?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't know. But, if France is in there, then Huey is going because he's the one. So, but, is this a blessing in disguise? But it only is – it's only that if he goes and he takes care of it. And, Yeah, I think it's a dangerous schedule, and I'm sure that Hossa's not going to be the only Blackhawk that's going to miss significant time this year, and probably directly related to that grueling schedule that the Blackhawks are going to undergo.
You brought up something that you know, him getting the surgery, getting it fixed for a couple of years, could be the best thing for this team. And they got me thinking, you always hear about windows. Where do you think the Hawks are in their window? Obviously, it's just opening up for them. But how long do you think they have a window open to win the Cup?
I think their window is this year. You know, and I want to bring this up, and I want to say something nice about Eddie Olczyk. I was listening to Eddie Olczyk. This should be the title of the show. Block says something nice about Eddie Olczyk. Eddie Olczyk's been kind of making the rounds lately, doing interviews here and there. And he and I agree on something 100%. And I don't know if Eddie realizes it or not. I think he does. Eddie might be an asshole, but, you know, he's kind of a sharp guy. And he knows his hockey. I don't like him as a broadcaster. I don't want to, you know, I turn him down, but I think, you know, he knows his hockey. And he's been going around, you know, in the interview circuit that he does, and he's been talking about the biggest problem with the game today, the biggest problem that the NHL has now. And I want to stress this, because I don't know if he's – in every interview that he's done, the hosts haven't picked up on this, but each one that he's done, he's brought up – that the biggest problem that the NHL has is these players and their entry-level deals that go from making $600,000, $850,000 to immediately jumping in to market value contracts. And this is where Sam Bowman was interviewed yesterday, and he was talking about – they asked him about the RFA issue, and he defended it, saying, when you look at it – this is his quote – when you look at it I can't quote it that way, but basically what he said is that the Blackhawks got these guys for their market value. Well, and then he says, when you look at it that way, it really didn't affect us at all. Okay, when you look at it that way. Okay, but that's not the, you know, the way it should be. The Blackhawks have these guys that are restricted free agents. As long as they make the qualifying offer on time, these guys can't go anywhere. You can, you know, sort of sit around and think, like, you know, get paranoid and think that somebody's going to swoop in and offer Dave Bowen $4 million. Well, you know what? If somebody offers Dave Bowen $4 million a year, you're welcome to him. If somebody's going to do the same for Chris Versteeg, you know, run along, Chris Versteeg. You know, but when the Blackhawks are going from Chris Versteeg, who made $490,000 last year, to he has one good season, and he didn't even have a great season, he had a good season, so all of a sudden he's making $3 million a year. Same goes for Dustin Byfuglien last year. He went from,
I was just about to say, are you listening, Dustin Byfuglien?
He didn't even play a full season. And he only played 30 games at his position, and the Blackhawks went and gave him 3 years, $3 million a year. That is why, when everybody talks about why the Hawks are in, you know, it's easy, and the short-sighted ones, you know, people are going to say, well, it's Campbell. It's all that damn Brian Campbell. You know, get over yourself and look at it a little bit closer. The reason why the Blackhawks are going to lose one of those three, and it's going to be Duncan Keith, is because of the Versteeg contract, it's because of the Byfuglien contract, it's because of the Bowen contract. It's not using your position of bargaining power with these guys when you have it. And now you're setting these guys up for an even bigger raise when their contracts come due in 3 years. What are the Blackhawks going to look like in 3 years if they're good this year and next and they keep drafting at 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30? You know, and that goes all the way down the draft. And 4 or 5 years from now, all these guys, you know, with the exception of Kane and Taves and, you know, whoever's left on the defensive end after that, what are the Blackhawks going to look like, and how ugly is it going to be because they screwed up this RFA thing? And or, just like Eddie Olczyk is saying, they make the mistake of not using their bargaining power when they have it. And they go from having these guys on good deals in their entry-level year, because, you know, again, last year Chris Versteeg was a rookie. He played a year in the National Hockey League, and then all of a sudden he's making $3 million. That is not the way the salary cap, the way the NHL and the, you know, the players' union sat down and agreed to, it's not the way this was supposed to go. I mean, these guys were supposed to go from entry level to, you know, making $2.5 million a year tops, and then get their $3.5 million, a year contract. That's the way it was supposed to go. That was how cost control was intended to be. And now you have these GMs and presidents of companies like John McDonough that are throwing all this money at these guys, and, you know, right off their entry level, and they'll be hell to pay 3 years down the line when the Blackhawks don't have anybody left, because the players that they signed for $3 million, you know, 3 or 4 years from now, they're looking for another raise up to $4 or $5 million. They're just not going to be worth it. And then some of them are going to be unrestricted, and you're not going to get anything for them. So, I have to say, because as much as I have my opinion of Eddie Olczyk, when someone, you know, says something intelligent, you have to commend him. And Eddie Olczyk is right on there. And I don't know, he's usually very good about defending the Blackhawks and sucking up and holding his position. So I don't know. I would assume that he knows what he's saying, and there's an implied intent there. But, kudos to Eddie Olczyk. And that, you heard it here on thethirdmanin.com. And Superstar is gone. I don't know what happened to him. So if anybody wants to jump in with me here right now, 347-857-3781 is the number to call in. We have someone on the line now. I don't know if this is Superstar or not. You are on the air. Or maybe not. You are on the air. Hello.
I'm here. It's a Superstar.
All right. Well, did you switch devices?
No, I didn't drop off at all.
Oh, well, you did on the switchboard. All right. Why don't we go over something that we touched on last night? We had a couple polls up on the website last week, and we have one up now. And while I'm reading these off, I'll go and check the current one. But we asked which rookie has the best chance of making the Blackhawks out of this coming training camp. The overwhelming favorite with 48.6% of the vote, Akeem Alou, like we were talking about earlier. A lot of people, you know, were encouraged by his rookie camp, his prospects camp. Jack Skilly got 27% of the vote. We were talking about him last night, sort of comparing him and his this coming season and the position that he's at right now is very much comparable to where Chris Versteeg was at last year. Nobody anticipated Chris Versteeg having the year that he did. He was an afterthought when the season began. He was just a body that was filling space. He had a favorable cap number. It made sense for him to be on the team. He earned that spot out of camp. I mean, he didn't get it because the Blackhawks, you know, had no other choice. He earned that spot, and he ran with it. But I think Jack Skilly's in the same spot this year. Should he come in with the right attitude and choose to embrace it, I think that he can have a similar season because they're the same guys, really. If you look at their body of work, Jack Skilly is capable of more physically. I think on the other side, Chris Versteeg, has a little bit more, as far as offensively gifted. But I think that Jack Skilly, if the Blackhawks make a deal and he's not involved, which is also very much possible, look for good things from Jack Skilly. And Jesus, look what a difference a day makes. I say something nice about Eddie Olczyk, and then I'm complimenting Jack Skilly. What is my problem? Kyle Beach in third with just under 11% of the vote. For him to make the team, he's got to, or for him to, you know, leave juniors, he's got to make the Blackhawks out of camp. He's too young to play. You got to be 20 years old at the start of the season to play in the AHL. Brian Bickle in fourth, quite a long shot, Brian Bickle, with 10% of the vote. And then Dylan Olsen got one vote. But Dylan Olsen had a great camp, and I 2 years Dylan Olsen will be on the Blackhawks blue line. You heard it here first. Our other poll: what's your impression of the Dale Towne firing/reassignment? reassignment. John McDonough can't stomach talent standing in a spotlight. 44.4% of the vote. Was that what you voted, Superstar?
It is.
I didn't vote for that, just to be perfectly clear. Too many chefs in the kitchen. Hawks will regret this. 27.8%. Third place, Talon and McDonough don't get along. Justified, 19%. And fourth, Talon's incompetent. He deserved it. You know, what a difference a month or so made. Because if you had asked this question in April, I think Talon's incompetent, he deserved it, would have been first. But as it was, 8.3% of the vote. And then poor Stan Bowman. Stan's the man, didn't get a single vote. So there you have it. And then the voting on online right now. The question is, and it'll be active till probably tomorrow morning, but Hossa or Havlat, health concerns aside, and I wrote this before the Hossa thing came up, with this group, who's the right fit makes the Hawks better? Marian Hossa is leading the way with 73% of the vote so far. We talked about that last night. We don't have enough time to really get back into it, but they're two different players. I don't think that you can say one or the other is the better player because they do different things. Hossa is a bigger, you know, is more physical. He's a go to the net guy, straight line skater. Of course, he's one of the best offensive players in the league. He's got moves. He can skate around guys. But he's a north south guy. Whereas Havlat's a playmaker. He's a bobber and a weaver, and he's a little bit more graceful in what he does. But that being said, he makes the players around him better, whereas I think Hossa's got to play with the best players. Hossa's not playing on the third line this year. And the Blackhawks have a problem because Dave Bolin was their, you know, quote-unquote third-line center last year, and now he's their second. And Dave Bolin wasn't what Dave Bolin or the Dave Bolin that people now think of him as until he got Marty Havlat on his right wing. So another thing to consider going into this year before you hand the Stanley Cup to the Blackhawks. Superstar, do you have anything over there that you wanted to bring up?
I think you made a great point there that Dave Bolin was never the player that he was until he started, you know, he had a healthy Marty Havlat on his wing. It'll be interesting to see if Hossa does skate with Ladd and Bolin this year, which, you know, you assume that he probably will to start. How much that changes Ladd and Bolin's output? Was Dave Bolin ever a 19 goal scorer? No, probably not. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. And we brought up the chemistry yesterday. How Hossa kind of melds that, which was by far the most consistent line that the Hawks had all last year.
Right. For looking at it on paper, Marian Hossa's got to play with Patrick Kane. And that's going to be, you know, that's a problem right there because Kane wants to play the right side. And Hossa likes to play the right side. So there's your first, issue with matchmaking. And then you're breaking up the Taves-Kane combination and Patrick Sharp. I mean, the best line, when they're all healthy, the best line the Hawks have, no question, is Patrick Sharp on the left side, Taves in the middle, and Kane on the right side. So that line's going to be broken up. There's no other way. Dave Bolin doesn't make Marian Hossa a better player. The one thing that Bolin did last year and why the trio with him, Ladd, and Havlat worked is because Bolin knows how to get the puck over to a guy and then get out of the way and just kind of concentrate on his assignments. He's very good at that. To whereas when the Blackhawks were forcing Patrick Sharp to play center, which he didn't want to do, he doesn't feel comfortable doing, he doesn't want to do it anymore, he wasn't getting Martin Havlat the puck, you know, and Havlat liked having the puck and skating around with it and sort of dictating flow. Hossa will do a little bit of that, but Hossa is a red line to goal line type guy. And, I don't know that he's the right fit with Boland unless you've got Kane on the other side, because Kane's going to be the one that's going to be carrying the puck, setting up a lot of what's going on out there. So it'll be interesting because I think that the way that the Blackhawks had their three lines and their fourth line set up last year was perfect. I mean, it fit what they wanted to do, and it was seamless throughout the year. I mean, it was the reason why. I mean, Dennis Savard got a lot of shit for always changing his lines, and he deserved it. But when Quenneville came in and when he made that decision to and people at the time sort of thought it was a demotion for Havlat. It was never a demotion. It was trying to get Havlat with a center who could get him the puck and just let, you know, Marty Havlat, you know, do what he did and make Havlat feel comfortable. Havlat never felt comfortable with Patrick Sharp, and he just didn't have chemistry with Jonathan Toews. So once he got that, you know, that line, those lines set, I mean, he was rolling. He didn't have to make any changes because it was perfect for what the Hawks did. This year is going to be different. I expect a lot of line changing, a lot of line juggling early, because Marian Hossa dropped in and exiting Havlat. The Blackhawks have a much different look now, because now they have to find the right chemistry. They have to find who's going to be good with who, and it's gonna cost the Blackhawks that first line that we were talking about just now, and finding that right chemistry. I think you can, Andrew Ladd probably won't play on the second line, you know. And again, that was one third of what a lot of people thought was the Hawks' most consistent, if not the best line last year. So there's going to be a lot of line juggling early, and I think you can expect that.
Well, I think when you bring in Hossa, Kopecky, and a Madden, obviously there's enough turnover that there's going to be some tinkering until he finds the right chemistry on each line. So it will be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah. Before we go, we got about 7 minutes left in the stream. I wanted to talk a little bit about the site in the first week or so that we've been up. It was funny because I got an email from one of the guys at the Blog UN Network that I've been dealing with for the past month or so, and he had mentioned to me that in the history, the short history of this network, that they had never had somebody that got their site online as quickly as I did. And I know now why. Because I've had, not that there's a lot of problems with the site, but just from on my end, the things that you guys don't see, it's completely different than what I've been dealing with and what I've been using for the last 3 years. So I'm going through a brand new process, learning basically every little thing over again, and then all these new bells and whistles that I've got to sort of figure out, and that's boring, but it's a part of the process. And there are issues that have come up. I know that, and if anybody, please, I mean, the plan here and the target is to have everything raring to go by Labor Day. I mean, any little issues that anybody comes across on the site, don't feel like you're bugging me or you're complaining or anything. Please email me, tell me exactly what happened, and I'll add it to the list when I go to these guys. One of the things that is apparent is that they're going to need to get us on a bigger server, because we're going to crash Blog UN come October. So that's something
I did notice going from the tabs on the top, if you're on the roster page and you go to the depth chart, it does move kind of slow. So I think you're definitely right on the right path there.
Yeah, that's something that's definitely going to have to be addressed. And I want to get everything else in line before I go to them and say, listen, I've only been here for 2 weeks, but you're going to have to get me, this and this and this. I want to take care of all the issues. Traffic is dwindled this week. I actually haven't checked the stats in 3 or 4 days. So, but And actually, it's a funny thing because when we switched over, and the reason originally I had said that we were going to switch over on Wednesday, and then of course the Talon thing broke, Talon being fired broke a week ago Monday night, and I made the decision that night to specifically to get people you know sort of encourage them to go on the comment boards and into the forums, which is going to be a long process of sort of getting people to do that here. But I thought that it would be a good idea to get that thing going, and what better of a day. In hindsight, that was a terrible move on my part because considering the news story that was that day, because of the conversion and some people weren't getting onto the new site, weren't being directed to the new site, myself personally, I didn't get on the new site until 1:30 in the morning, Tuesday night/Wednesday morning. So I initiated the switch, and it was done, and it was engaged, and I was getting emails from people by 8:45 Tuesday morning. But I didn't get on it till, 13, 14 hours later. So we actually, traffic on that day when it should have spiked, 75% for a news story like that, at least 75%, my traffic stayed the same. So that was a huge mistake on my part, a terrible mistake, because of everything that I was doing and just, the hectic pace that I was going at that day, I didn't have time to duplicate everything that I was doing on the new site over on the old. So I just abandoned it. So the people that were still being directed to the old, what I should have done, there, all along from the day, it was actually Friday, where I was at the last day of prospect camp, I got an email saying, it's ready for you to go and start doing all your thing, which is basically putting everything that you see on the site there. LogUIN took care of the design and the interface, but I mean, everything else that you see, all the content, all the links, everything, that was all my responsibility. So, from that point on, I engulfed myself, and it's a lot of work, but we're going to get it. So again, if any problems, I mean, there's been things with, I know that, the comment sections, people have been having, some issues there. I guess my suggestion is, and what I would do is, before you hit submit, highlight whatever you wrote and, copy it in case it doesn't go through properly. There have been glitches there, and we're talking with the hosts about possibly switching over to a different comment, whatever it's called. But, and then the forum is something that once we get a lot more people on there, we'll sort of be able to gauge what that is and whether or not we'll have to make a change there. Because again, I think for the traffic that we're going to bring once the season gets going, and again, something like this with the radio show is only going to get bigger and bigger. We're going to have some really good guests once the season comes along. A lot of familiar voices too, but. There's going to be a lot of things going on here, and we're going to need quite a bit more bandwidth. So bear with us, and again, just don't be afraid. Don't think you're annoying me, and I always get back to everybody eventually, and that's that. So before a little bit over a minute left, Superstar, any closing comments?
Regarding the site, I thought it was, when I first saw it, was an amazing upgrade. I thought that you brought up the bells and whistles and the additional capabilities that they gave you was great, and I think it's really going to take off from here.
I think so, too. There's a lot of stuff, too, that, we'll talk about, and there's a good possibility we're about ready to go here on the stream, so we're going to wrap it up. But there's a good possibility, I'll let everybody know, that I'll do a mailbag segment. Again, with everything that's been going on, I haven't been able to type out the mailbag and answer everybody's questions and put them up online. So I think what we're going to do over the weekend, I'll record a mailbag segment and do it all there. It's my compromise because I'm just I'm overwhelmed right now with work, both on the site and with real work. So I guess look for that. And until next time, Superstar, it's been great. And we will talk to everybody.
Definitely better than yesterday.
Definitely better. We'll talk to everybody next time. Good night, everybody.
Good night.